One of the things that I love doing is finding and reading about the women in scripture. And so over the next month or so, what we're going to be doing is looking at some of the women of the Old Testament. We're going to start with Eve, everybody's favorite, except many times it's your favorite one to hate. She gets a lot of blame. But as we unpack Eve's story, I think you're going to see some of yourself in her story. Stay tuned.
Do you sometimes doubt if you're truly hearing God's voice or if it's really your own? Or have you been in a season where it feels like he's completely silent? Have you been praying for a way to learn how to hear his voice more clearly? Hey friends, I'm Rachel, host of the Hearing Jesus podcast. If you are ready to grow in your faith and to confidently step into your identity in Christ, then join me as we dig deep into God's word so you can learn to live out your faith in your everyday life.
Hey friends, welcome back to the Hearing Jesus podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Grohl, and today we're starting our series on the women of the Old Testament. This is going to be high level. You know, we're going to do one woman per day, perhaps 2 days sometimes, but it's not in-depth Bible study. It's more devotional reading to whet your appetite for God's word, because again, my show is never a replacement for God's word. It's to get you into God's word. And so we're starting with Eve. She's the one that everyone loves to hate. She gets a lot of blame, but I think that we will see ourselves in her story. So we're going to read starting in Genesis chapter 2 at verse 15, and I'm going to read through and then also a little bit of chapter 3, and then I'm going to talk about her story. It says, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, 'You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die.' The Lord God said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him.' Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds in the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and the wild animals. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man.' That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame." Now going into chapter 3. "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?' The woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat from the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die.' 'You will not certainly die,' the serpent said to the woman, 'for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, 'Where are you?' He answered, 'I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid.' And he said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree I commanded you not to eat from?' The man said, 'The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it.' Then the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is this you have done?' The woman said, 'The serpent deceived me, and I ate.' So the Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust and all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel.' To the woman he said, 'I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labor you will give birth to children. Your desire will be over your husband, and he will rule over you.' To Adam he said, 'Because you listened listened to your wife and ate from the fruit of the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since you were taken from it. For dust you are, and to dust you will return. Adam named his wife Eve because she would become the mother of all the living. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. And the Lord God said, this man now has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work with the ground from which he had been taken. After he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the garden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. Now, this girl, she gets a bad rap from the very beginning. From the first time Eve comes on the scene, she gets a bad rap. But there's a couple things that I want to point out just to help us understand Eve and her role in our own lives. And we also have to remember that when we look at the people of Scripture, we don't want to emulate them. We want to emulate God. And what I mean by that is a lot of times people will look to the different characters that are in Scripture and make heroes out of them or try to become like them. And while there may be certain characters or qualities that they have that are good to be like, the only reason there was any heroes in any Bible story was because of God, how God was the hero in the story. And then the opposite is true. When there's a villain in the story, a lot of times it's because the enemy has gotten hold of their heart. And so we are subject to that same pattern of behavior. We are born into sin and we have that same sinful nature in us. So it's not like we can throw shame or shade at Eve and say that we would have done any better. If anything, I think I probably would have eaten it sooner. The moment I heard about it, I would have ran for it because that's my nature. But there's a couple things I want to point out. First of all, Adam did not make Eve. God created Eve. I think that's an important distinguishing mark to make, because sometimes you'll hear it taught that she came from Adam. Now, while God used Adam to create her, part of his flesh, that was part of the creation process, Adam was not responsible for making Eve. God was. And that means that she existed in God's thoughts before he made her. He was intentional with her. There is one verse that is dedicated to the creation of Adam, but there are six verses dedicated to the creation of Eve. And I want you to just think about this for a minute. Eve was never a child. She was not born to a mom and dad. She was never a child. Eve never had a mother. It's not like she grew up with her mother teaching her right from wrong. I mean, she was fully whole and fully adult when she was created, but she did not grow up with the benefit of a relationship with a mother. Eve was never single. The moment she was created, she was mature and she was in this relationship with Adam. She was created full and complete. And that completeness was not based on education, college degrees, her training, her years in the workforce. It was not based on wisdom that she gained through experiences. She was just the product of God's design. Just like the man, she is the result of God's creation. And I think it's interesting because she gets so much blame for original sin, but yet she was created perfectly by God. And even still, she in her human condition fell prey to sin. I think about all the things that have happened since that time and how many of us are created and we go through trauma or we go through bad experiences or we have just a lot of people not speaking wisdom into our lives and we make bad decisions. She was in the perfect setting, the perfect experience, and she still made that decision to disobey God. I think that helps take some of the heat off of us knowing that's why we needed a savior. That's why we needed Jesus, because God knew that we were not going to be able to hold up on our own. Hey friends, I wanted to take a minute to share with you about one of our new partners, Five Lakes Coffee. For 20 years, Five Lakes has been helping people discover the magic of fresh roasted coffee. They craft roast in small batches, then ship direct so that you are getting the freshest and best tasting coffee. Five Lakes uses the highest quality specialty grade coffee beans from around the world. And let me tell you, we're kind of coffee snobs in my family, and their coffee has converted even my daughter, who is a barista. As a family-owned and family-friendly company, I love their mission. As believers, our family loves supporting other Christian companies, and one of the things I absolutely love about this company is that they believe in loving their neighbors, and they value being good stewards of what God has given them. My two favorites are the signature Five Lakes blend and Chris's blend, because for Chris's blend, they donate $1 per bag to Forgotten Children's Ministry in Honduras. And guess what? As a podcast listener, you get an exclusive 20% off your first order when you use the code HearingJesus. Head over to fivelakes.com and experience the joy of fresh roasted goodness today. Again, head to fivelakes.com and use code HearingJesus for 20% off your first order.
My name's Preston Sprinkle, and I host the Theology in the Raw podcast. Theology in Raw aims to help believers to think Christianly about theological and cultural issues by engaging in curious conversations with a diverse range of thoughtful people. I have conversations with a wide range of different guests who come from different perspectives, and no topic is off limits. Sexuality, abortion, politics, LGBTQ, warfare, violence, marijuana, immigration, you name it. If you have a theological or cultural issue that you have been wrestling with over 1,100 episodes, we've probably talked about it on Theology in Raw. Along with conversations with various people, I also address questions sent in from my audience every month. And occasionally, I will talk about some of my latest research projects that I'm currently working on. Theology in Raw is not for everyone. It is uncut, uncensored, and I don't give trigger warnings. So check out Theology in Raw through your favorite podcast app.
She was created as a helper for Adam because there was something missing in him without her. The creation of humanity was not complete until Eve was created. And so it's their relationship together that is the picture of completion of the image of God. And so when we talk about being made in God's image, that image was not complete until he made woman. That word that's used there, helper suitable, different translations will phrase it differently, but that word is E-Z-E-R, Azer. And that word, Azer, is not a demeaning word. When you think of a helper, sometimes you think of the hired help or a servant. That's not what that means. It's actually the same word that's used to describe God's relationship to humanity. In Deuteronomy 33, we see the word Azer as well. Verse 29, it says, "Blessed are you, Israel, who is like you, a people saved by the Lord. He is your shield and helper and your glorious sword. Your enemies will cower before you, and you will tread on their heights." That word Azer, when it's talking about a helper, it's the kind of helper that comes to rescue you in battle. It's the kind of helper that is a picture of God's relationship to humanity. It's not a weakness. If anything, it's the opposite. Adam was not more holy than Eve. He was not more holy than you or me, just like men are not more holy than women. He was just first. He was created first. And Satan knew this. He knew that that was the ticket to getting at Adam. It was the only way that he was going to be able to seduce Adam into doing what he wanted him to do. And the enemy recognized the power that Eve had. Eve was not less holy than Adam. Eve is not less holy than you or me. She is not more sinful than Adam. She is not more sinful than you or me. She was just first. The instructions from God were told to Adam. Think about this. They were not told to Eve. They were told to Adam. She only heard them through Adam. God never said they couldn't touch it. He only said that they couldn't eat it. And so whether Adam put that restriction on just to protect her, we don't know. Or if he was exaggerating, we don't know. Maybe there's a little bit of fear. I don't know. But regardless, the serpent, this entire time, when you read this in the original text, in the original Hebrew, he uses plural forms when he's speaking, which means that both of them were there the entire time. I think when I was little and I learned this story in Sunday school, I thought like she was alone with the serpent at the tree and then Adam came along later. No, he was there the entire time. And then the scripture says that he was with her. She was not the one that takes the sole blame for original sin. She was just the first one. Because right after that, Adam did it the same way. And if you or I had been there, it very well could have been us. She was not the only one. She was just the first one. And then think about this. Eve lived a really long time. Back then, scripture talks about how they lived a really, really long time. And so she went from being in paradise to pain, literally leaving behind this lush garden of Eden, and then entered this land of what the Bible says is thorn and thistles. Childbirth was painful. Even probably the fear of childbirth and what was going to be happening to her body would probably cause anxiety. There's a contrast between the life that God offers us. And a lot of times with that, there are so many unexpected blessings. If you contrast that between that and the life that the enemy offers us, which often offers unexpected pain, I think it tells us something. But also, I want to make sure we don't forget this seed of redemption, because the scripture says that there was a seed in her that would one day crush the head of the one responsible for her pain, the seed of the enemy. And so she fixed her eyes on that promise, just like we need to fix our eyes on the promise. Now, we know that the promise is Jesus. At that time, she didn't know what the promise was. She knew that she had the promise, and she may have even thought that Abel was that promise because he was her firstborn son, and that's her seed. But then when Abel was killed by Cain, and if you don't know that story, just keep reading Genesis, it likely did not make sense to her. Sometimes when we have a promise that we're holding on to and it doesn't turn out the way we want it to, or it doesn't turn out in the timing we want it to, it doesn't make sense to us. See, that promise, it would outlast her days. It took hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years for that promise to be fulfilled. The son of Mary, Jesus, was also the son of Eve. Far removed, but that was the fulfillment of that promise. Sin entered the world through a woman and a tree. And sin was reconciled in the world through a woman and a tree. Let's pray. God, I thank you for the way that you reveal your heart for your people through your word. Lord, I pray that as we meditate on Eve's story today, Lord, that you would help us not to just cast judgment and to think of her with blame and shame, but Lord, help us to recognize that it could have very well been one of us, because she's not the only one. She was just the first one. Lord, I pray that in those moments where we are frustrated, when we're holding onto this promise that doesn't seem to be fulfilled, that you would remind us to fix our eyes on the promise, to fix our eyes on you, because you are the promise. Lord, we know that your plan, your redemption plan for our lives is so much bigger and better than anything that we could plan for ourselves. So Lord, yes, we recognize that we live in a world that has fallen and has sin, and has so much mess and yuck. But yet we also see this thread of redemption that you've given us because of Jesus. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the promise. I pray for my friends today that as they lean into what it is that you're saying to them today, that you would reveal yourself in a way that is tangible and real and gives them something they can hold on to, because we know that your word is true. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The Hearing Jesus podcast is so excited to partner with Compassion International. We believe in Compassion's mission to release children from poverty in Jesus' name. I've seen the impact myself through the letters and the updates that I've received as a sponsor. It's not just changing the lives of children, it's changing entire families, whole communities, always through the local church and always in Jesus' name.
When you sponsor a child, you ensure access to quality education, medical checkups, healthy food, clean water, and most importantly, the love of Jesus, delivered through a church in their community because of a generous, caring sponsor like you. And you can speak life, love, and hope to your sponsored child through personal letters that you'll exchange. I hope you'll join me in sponsoring a child through Compassion today. All you have to do is pull out your phone, open up a text, and text Hearing Jesus to 83393. You'll get back a text with a picture of a child who is waiting for a sponsor and a link to sponsor that child. You can also go to compassion.com/hearing Jesus to choose a boy or a girl to sponsor. When you sponsor a child, we will send you a copy of She Hears, Learning to Listen to Jesus, my Bible study, as a token of our thanks for investing in the life of a child. Thank you for joining me in sponsoring a child through Compassion today. Hey friends, if this podcast helped encourage, empower, or equip you in your walk with God, I would love it if you would head over to Apple Podcasts and leave me a review. That's the number one way you can support my show. You can also join our free Facebook community or Instagram page where I share inspirational tips, bonus content, resources, and prayer throughout the week. Hey, I want you to know I'm praying for you. Know that you are so loved. Keep going.